Pleased to have 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us today. Senator Hawkins with us every Tuesday at this time, right on through the end of the legislative sessions in April. Going to be talking about vaccinations with Brad this morning, along with a Senate bill, as well as a bill that has a hearing today that he'll talk to us about as well. And Brad, I always appreciate the time. Thanks.
Good morning, Chris. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Good to be with you.
Absolutely. So another set of rules, I guess, has kind of come out. You know, this vaccination effort has caused some folks to, you know, question, I suppose, some of the phases that were originally proposed by Governor Inslee and health officials in the states. And it seems to me like thus far, their ears might be a little bit more open to tweaking this than perhaps some of the other rules that we've seen come out during the pandemic from the state. And that goes for some that you felt needed to do just that. Maybe a little updating last week that you told us about. And since then, there's been some movement on that front. So tell us the latest on vaccinations in the state.
Yeah, I'm really excited, Chris. And honestly, I've never been more frustrated at the top-down approach. You know, usually it doesn't work, in my opinion, for most things in government. But when it came to this statewide vaccination plan and the Department of Health, it was just too complicated, and we weren't getting the doses administered, at least in our region, perhaps. But last week, on January 11th, I led an effort with my colleagues in the Senate Education Committee and House Education Committee, and the two chairs of the committees, House and Senate, and the two ranking members, House and Senate, of the Education Committee, sent a bipartisan letter to the governor and the Department of Health urging that all school employees have an opportunity to get vaccinated in the next phase beginning in February. The governor's previous rules basically just laid out if you're 50 years and older, you can get vaccinated. But if you're a school employee that's 49 years old, you may not be able to get vaccinated till April or May. And basically, the school is almost out by the time school employees would get their two doses 3 weeks apart. So we sent this letter into the governor. And then the next day, I called for a statewide school employee vaccination day. And I called upon the governor and the Department of Health to designate February 1st as that day. They could schedule a day on February 1st. They could schedule a day 3 weeks later. School employees could line up. The school districts could send their list to the local healthcare providers, show up, wear masks 6 feet apart, and present your identification card and start getting vaccinated. So anyway, it ended up becoming this kind of statewide effort, and there was a lot of media attention and things like that. And I was pretty busy answering questions. But just yesterday afternoon, the governor released a new plan for vaccinations. And I'm proud to say that all school employees will be able to get vaccinated in the same phase. And I think it's once at least 50% of the people in the first phase have had an opportunity to get vaccinated. So we're seeing some improvements there. And I'm humbled by that and really excited about it too.
Well, that's outstanding news for sure, especially for folks that felt that was a good idea. And I can't really see how a lot of people wouldn't. Brad, I know that there are calls from many different sectors, education, which you just outlined. We're hearing something new about food processing and ag workers. A lot of different folks want their bunch, if you will, kind of pushed to the front of the line because they feel that there's a reason that they would be a little bit more essential or need to be protected more than others. This is a difficult time when obviously all of us deserve to have access to being protected. We do have to prioritize in what order it makes sense during a situation like this. People would be safeguarded from further harm. So trying to sort all of that out has got to be difficult. What is it, do you think, in this case that really bent the governor's ear? Because that seems to be something that's been, as I mentioned at the outset, a little more difficult to do for some groups than others.
Yeah. Fortunately, my strategy, I think, paid off. I have a history of working in a bipartisan fashion throughout the legislature. I have good relationships with my Democratic chair from Mercer Island and the House Education chair from Seattle, and basically we put together this bipartisan letter. I think the governor is used to dismissing letters from cranky Republicans, but when he started to see this, and then the Washington Education Association as a statewide teacher union actually got behind my effort probably a day after we sent that letter to the governor. So, I know a lot of people deserve access to the vaccine. I personally am eager to get vaccinated when I'll have the opportunity, but my case was the school employees are essential. Education is the paramount duty of the state according to our Constitution, and all of the school employees who are, you know, no longer able to self-isolate because they're interacting with potentially hundreds of kids and their parents should have the opportunity to be protected if they want to. And my case was that the school employees, which are teachers, administrators, and support staff, should have that opportunity to be prioritized alongside the older Washingtonians. I totally acknowledge that they should have the opportunity to be vaccinated, but unfortunately, there were a lot of vaccines that went unadministered up, you know, in these recent weeks, and we need to start getting shots in the arms. So what's interesting, Chris, is that we've actually looked into this, and the groups that are doing the most effective job at administering the vaccinations are our tribes. And the tribes have that opportunity because they're not restricted by the same bureaucracy of the state government. They have a lot more flexibility as a sovereign group. So they basically said, you know, we're not going to wait until, you know, all these different criteria are met. We're going to just encourage people to drive by, roll down the window, roll up their sleeve, and we'll get you vaccinated. And they have been very successful. We've also been very successful here. I've spoken with Confluence Health, and, you know, my hope is that we could get more vaccines allocated to us because we've done such a good job.
Yeah, the tribes have also had some of the most stringent measures as far as protocol during the pandemic is concerned as well. We're talking with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins here on the Coho Morning Show today about vaccinations in the state. Brad, let's move on and talk about a couple of bills. One, number 5147, is actually a Senate bill that you have proposed, and this has to do with an alternative school calendar. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, so that bill got a hearing yesterday before the Senate Education Committee. Basically, coming out of this pandemic, I think we have to really think differently and think big and challenge ourselves for some transformational changes in education. And, you know, I believe that if we were to set up the school calendar now, we would never have 3 months off in the summer. Basically, it forces a lot of reteaching in the fall. We have a lot of learning loss, and learning loss is a big issue as a result of this pandemic. So both because of the pandemic and because of the 3 month break every summer, I've proposed a bill to explore some pilot projects where school districts can try to extend their same number of days over a longer duration of time, like an 11 month or 12 month school calendar. Or another proposal as part of that bill was to add 30 days to the school calendar for up to 50 school districts so they could explore voluntarily, if they wanted to, in their communities, a year-round school.
And Brad, you feel like that is something that's going to mesh well enough with the state that we're in now related to, you know, distance learning and virtual environs, or is it something that you'd like to see happen once those conditions kind of expire?
Well, it's something that, in accordance with how I set it up in the bill, it would begin in the 2022-2023 school year. So it's going to take some planning for the school districts who voluntarily want to pursue it, because there's staff collective bargaining issues, there's issues with student care, child care. Obviously, they'll have to work through things with their parents. But as we transition out of the remote learning phase and into the in-building phase, or if there are some school districts that want to offer year-round remote learning, I'm not going to restrict it. I think we have to utilize this opportunity to think differently, to figure out how we can address the learning loss that's not only occurring in Washington State, but all across the United States, and you know, what we can do to catch these kids up throughout the course of their K-12 progression with their academic progress that they've lost. So we have a lot of challenges, and I'm really encouraging my colleagues in the legislature to think a little bit differently and brainstorm some ideas here.
Brad, let's talk also about another bill that has a hearing today that you wanted to mention as well. What's this one about?
Yeah, this bill is Senate Bill 5158. It has a hearing at 1:30 today before the Senate Agriculture, Water, Natural Resources, and Parks Committee. And it's a bill that I'm partnering with Chelan County PUD and the Department of Natural Resources. A couple years ago, the state approved a measure to set up a DNR task force related to how electric utilities can work with the DNR to minimize risk of wildfire. And it's really a huge issue, Chris, because when you look at what happened and transpired in California and the utilities that actually got blamed for causing some of those wildfires, it sent some of them into bankruptcy. So this task force has been meeting. They've done a good job. They have some recommendations. And my bill would basically set up a process to where those recommendations from the task force could be implemented, and then directing the DNR to post certain things on their website, keep them updated, and keep communications back to the legislature every 2 years. So I'm excited. I just spoke with Steve Wright just yesterday. I'm excited that he'll be testifying this afternoon along with other electric utilities in Washington State. And it's, like I said, it's a big issue, and we need to stay in front of this one.
And Brad, to close things out, how are things going with the virtual sessions? I know when we checked in with your counterparts over in the House, Gaynor and Steele, on Friday, they said there'd been quite a few hiccups on their end as far as, you know, they were concerned, and things were a little clunky, at least at the outset. What about from your perspective and in the Senate overall?
Yeah, it's a little bit hit and miss, but, you know, that would be expected kind of in the first couple weeks. Fortunately, in the Senate, there are half the members in the House, so I think it's a little bit more manageable, perhaps. But, you know, the committee hearings have gone pretty well, both for my bills and the other bills that we've been hearing in committees. And fortunately, because I think in anticipation of some of the technical challenges and the more cumbersome nature of having a remote session, a lot of the extras have been sort of streamlined out of the process. We did, you know, do some honorary resolutions on Martin Luther King Day, but some of the more honorary ceremonial things, those have all been eliminated for this year. And I'm hoping that the time we save with those sort of things will be able to apply to the extra time it takes to do some other things. So hopefully we'll get in our groove. We haven't done too much Senate floor voting in air quotes, but I think the committee process is going pretty well right now. And if we get our groove with that and the Senate votes, I think it'll work out okay.
All right. Well, we'll see how things work out as we continue to chat with you during the course of the legislative sessions for 2021. State Senator Brad Hawkins from the 12th Legislative District joining us on Tuesdays at 7:30 each week, right on through the end of the current sessions. And Brad, again, I appreciate the time very much. Stay safe and healthy. Same to you and everybody, obviously, over there in Olympia and here in the eastern half of Washington State. And we'll talk again next week.
Likewise, Chris. Sounds great. Thanks for having me.